We last saw Scrooge in his icy cold counting house, having a very heated argument with his nephew. Let's pick it back up from there. "Keep it," repeated Scrooge's nephew. "But you don't keep it."
"Let me leave it alone, then," said Scrooge. "Much good may it do to you. Much good it has ever done you."
"There are many things from which I might have derived good, by which I have not profited, I dare say," returned the nephew. "Christmas among the rest, but I am sure I have always thought of Christmas time, when it has come around, apart from the veneration due to its sacred name and origin, if anything belonging to it can be apart from that, as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time, the only time I know of in the long calendar of the year, when men and women seem, by one consent, to open their shut-up hearts freely, and to think of people below them as if they really were fellow passengers to the grave, and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. And therefore, uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good and will do me good, and I say God bless it." The clerk in the tank involuntarily applauded. Becoming immediately sensible of the impropriety, he poked the fire and extinguished the last frail spark forever.
"Let me hear another sound from you," said Scrooge, "and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation."
"You are quite a powerful speaker, sir," he added, turning to his nephew. "I wonder you don't go into Parliament."
"Don't be angry, uncle. Come, dine with us tomorrow."
Scrooge said that he would see him, yes. Indeed he did. He went the whole length of the expression, and said that he would see him in that extremity first.
"But why?" cried Scrooge's nephew. "Why?"
"Why did you get married?" said Scrooge.
"Because I fell in love."
"Because you fell in love," growled Scrooge, as if that were the only one thing in the world more ridiculous than a Merry Christmas. "Good afternoon."
"Nay, uncle, but you never came to see me before that happened. Why give it as a reason for not coming now?"
"Good afternoon," said Scrooge.
"I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. Why can we not be friends?"
"Good afternoon," said Scrooge.
"I am sorry, with all of my heart, to find you so resolute. We have never had any quarrel to which I have been a party, but I have made the trial in homage to Christmas, and I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So, a Merry Christmas, uncle."
"Good afternoon," said Scrooge.
"And a Happy New Year."
"Good afternoon," said Scrooge. His nephew left the room without an angry word notwithstanding. He stopped at the outer door to bestow the greetings of the season on the clerk, who, cold as he was warmer than Scrooge, for he returned them cordially.
"There's another fellow," muttered Scrooge, who overheard him. "My clerk with 15 shillings a week and a wife and a family, talking about a Merry Christmas. I'll retire to Bedlam."
This lunatic, in letting Scrooge's nephew out, had let two other people in. They were portly gentlemen, pleasant to behold, and now stood with their hats off in Scrooge's office. They had books and papers in their hands and bowed to him. And tomorrow we will pick up with these portly gentlemen. Thank you so much for letting me into your ear holes on this Monday morning.
I really appreciate spending this time with you. Thank you for your feedback as I continue to work on how to bring characters to life with voice acting. Again, I've never done this in my life. I'm just doing this for funsies with you all. It really means a lot that you're here. So yeah, once again, thank you for letting me into your ear holes. I love you all so very much. Whether we've met or whether we haven't, please know that you occupy a place in my heart. All right. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.